Now, as we go into this practice using the river image, I'm just going to say a few words while you get yourself settled. Many of us have read Hermann Hesse's book, Siddhartha, which is the story of a man who lived at the time of Gautama Siddhartha. Siddhartha Gautama, and he was a searcher, just like Siddhartha, the Buddha was. But it's not the story of the Buddha. That's something to know. And so, early on in the book, the character reflects on his search. Slowly the thinker went on his way and asked himself, what is it that you wanted to learn from teachings? What was it they could not teach you? It was the self. I wanted to rid myself of the self, to conquer it, but I could not. I could only fly from it, hide from it. Truly, nothing in the world has occupied my thoughts as much as the self. This riddle that I live, that I am one and am separated from and different from everybody else. And then he goes on to say, I wish to destroy myself, to get away from myself, in order to find the unknown innermost, the nucleus of all things, life, the divine, the absolute. But by doing so, I lost myself along the way. I will no longer try to escape. I will no longer mutilate and destroy myself in order to find a secret behind the ruins. I will learn from myself, be my own pupil. I will learn from myself the secret of me. It's said that all wisdom traditions, this is the big question. Who am I? What am I? And within insight meditation, there is a different approach, a very practical approach. And so let's begin now engaging with our practice. Feeling body sitting and being breathed. And I recommend for this practice that you have that kind of wide awareness, the anchor being body sitting and breathing all together. And I'll say more about this as we go along. John O'Donohue wrote, I would love to live like a river flows, carried by the surprise of its own unfolding. So can we take that attitude as we engage with the practice and seeing what flows through? Allowing ourselves now to use a little imagination to help us. Conjuring in our mind's eye a river that we are familiar with or we've seen in pictures, whatever suits. Having a sense of those flowing waters, perhaps that's a way to connect with the breathing and the river image, the flowing breath. And the banks of the river, those boundaries, and feeling into our own bodies as we sit here. The river image has a great deal to teach us about impermanence, dukkha, and not self, or anatta, the third characteristic. Certainly, there's the sense of flow, and you can connect with that right now. The flow of the river, the flow of the breathing and the sensations. As the river flows and our sensations flow, we're also reminded of impermanence, inconstancy. Things are ever changing. We can notice that right now. The river also teaches us about dukkha. And so, yes, the river's flowing, and then there's a beaver dam or a whirlpool, eddies, flotsam and jetsam. The river gets caught in brambles. And so, too, we get caught in the flow of experience. Can feel even a little stagnant, troubled waters within. And so whenever these experiences arise during our practice, we can conjure the image of the river to help us see that, to see that the river flows on by nonetheless, gets unstuck. And what is it sticking to? What are we sticking to? But so often a sense of self, a narrow, contracted sense of self. And we can notice this as we practice, when we get caught in our experiences. And let the river image help us to reconnect with the flow of experience. A few more words. I'm going to do these instructions and then we'll have long periods of silence. So the river, what is the river? The river is not just the water. How do we define river? Well, there's also the banks of the river, the river bed, the rocks, the plants, the microbial creatures and the larger creatures. All of these things are part of what we mean by river. And yet the river is more than that. No one of these things is river. The river is more than that. We can say, oh, well, I'll go back to the source of the river, the source of water bubbling up in the mountains. But when we look deeply, we begin to see that that too is insufficient for a definition of river, because that source of water goes down deep into subterranean places, into the underground aquifers. And when we look deeply, they are endless. So the underground aquifers, the source, these two are parts of the river, but they're not river. We could say the flowing water, that's river. what about the whirlpools, the flotsam and jetsam? All of these changing parts of the river, they're changing. And they too don't fully define river. So too for ourselves, these moments of trouble in our hearts and minds don't define us. They're not self, not who we are. Ah, but what about the ocean, that boundary where the river meets the ocean or the lake? We can see here that it's hard to see the boundary. We can see how profoundly connected the river and the larger body of water are, how they're dependent on each other. What's the point at which the river ends and is no longer the river? We can see that it's hard to discern this. Perhaps we might entertain that it may be hard to discern where I end and you begin, where my body ends and the air begins, the earth begins. Oh, I know, it's the clouds and the waterfall feeding the river. That's river. But again, we look deeply, and these are again parts of the river, not all of what the river is. So the river is more than any individual part, and it's always changing, and yet it's there. And as I've said, we connect our bodies with the river banks, the breath with the flowing water. And the river image can inform us as we practice, as we feel body and breathing. We can feel that flow like the river. And the river can teach us that we're more than this. We're more than the whirlpools and the eddies. These are parts of who we are, the river is, and they're changing, and not all of who we or the river are. We can also notice that the river doesn't own these parts. Doesn't own the plants and animals and the banks and the waterfall, the rain. And yet, they are part of the river. And so too, we can notice that all these various experiences that happen to us don't belong to us. We don't own them. They are conditioned arisings. And so practicing with breath and body, we notice the constituents of river, we notice the constituent experiences as parts of who we are, how they're in movement, they're moving, and that we're more than this. And so continuing to practice using these instructions, these images to help you. using the river image at any point to refresh your practice, sensing into the body, the breathing, and connecting with the river in a sense of flow and change. The river is ever changing. What's changing within you as you practice? What's inconstant? The river has disturbances. The waters get caught. So too with ourselves. These moments when the river is caught in whirlpools and flotsam and jetsam. And ourselves as well. Notice the disturbance. Notice any identification with the disturbance. As if the river knows it's more than this disturbance, it keeps flowing. Noticing what happens when we identify with a particular disturbance, the dukkha that arises, the contracted sense of self. what happens to flow in those moments. Is it possible to let be, let go, and return to flow? Everything in the river is conditioned, contingent upon everything else. As we've heard earlier, the clouds, the rainfall, the source, the plants and animals, the ocean, all play a role in the flow of the river. Can we notice this same conditionality, contingency, within our own experiences? Everything within the river is interconnected. The rainfall with the waters of the river, the banks and the river bottom, continuous with the waters of the river, the source with the aquifers, the flow of the river with the ocean, all interconnected. Can we notice that too in our own experiences as we sit here? And so back to Siddhartha to finish off our practice. Siddhartha in conversation. The questioner. Yes, Siddhartha, he said. Is that what you mean? That the river is in all places at once? At its source and where it flows into the sea? At the waterfall? At the ferry? At the rapids? In the ocean? In the mountains? Everywhere at once? So for the river, there is only the present moment and not the shadow of the future? It is, Siddhartha said. And once I learned this, I considered my life, and it too was a river. And the boy Siddhartha was separated from the man Siddhartha and the graybeard Siddhartha only by shadows, not by real things. Nothing was, nothing will be. Everything is, everything has being and presence. But of all the water's secrets, he saw today only a single one that struck his soul. He saw that this water flowed and flowed, it was constantly flowing, and yet it was always there. It was always eternally the same, and yet knew at every moment. Oh, to be able to grasp this, to understand this.